Well, as we know, time is a gift from God. And yet it is something that we often take for granted. We get caught up into the busyness of this life, and we forget how quickly, and I think this is all of us, how quickly really time can slip through our fingers. Why is it important for us to recognize the shortness of time? You know, sometimes we don't think about that, do we? We don't. It's never in our mind. Because again, we're in the business of life. We're doing things constantly. We're busy. And I think the reason we don't recognize that is that because when we understand that time is not endless, when we think about that process, that time is not endless, I think we begin to evaluate a little bit more how we spend it. How we spend the time that we have. And we start to prioritize, I think, what truly matters in this life. What truly matters to you and me, what truly matters to God. And make intentional choices, right, in our lives. Intentional choices that align with our values and with our beliefs. You know, in Psalm 91, it talks about God being a loving Father. A God of mercy, a God of comfort, of compassion, of kindness. And he always is there. He's never too far from us, and he will never forsake his people. He has promised us that. He provides, he protects, he delivers. He is our refuge, and he is our help in time of need. Yet a little over 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned in the announcements, I had to relay some bad news. I consider it bad news. I think we all do. When we know somebody has died in some way about, I would say, the untimely death of Mr. Davis. And he was, again, an elderly man. He was in our congregation in Rolla. And I was just there last Sabbath talking to him and visiting with him. And we had just been talking about coming out to visit with him and his wife. And when you look at this, looking at time, and you look at death, do we dare ask the question of why? Now, I don't know about you, but many of you know my son died now 10, 11 years ago. And believe me, I asked why a lot. That was one of the things that was in my mind a lot. Why? Because I couldn't understand those things. You know, and I think as you think about it, is it possible for us to even understand that question as to why? Let's go to James chapter 4. I wanted to bring this sermon today because I thought it was important. Just him being hit and being killed, and others who have in the past several months here in Calgary, others in other areas who have lost a loved one. And I thought this is something that we can look at, not just because of now, but all the time. Look at this thing of death and time. So here in James chapter 4, James 4 and verse 14. James chapter 4 and verse 14. For what is life? Again, I'm breaking into the verse here. What is life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I think these words are very powerful to us. They're a very powerful reminder that our time on earth is limited. That we don't have hundreds of years, thankfully. That we don't have all this time that we do. You know, it's just a mist. As you look at it in the morning, when you get up in the morning, there's a mist over the ground and the sun then dissipates that mist. It's a vapor. It goes away, right? It disappears. It's fleeting. It's temporary. So hopefully on this sermon this afternoon, I hope that I can give you a little bit, I think, insights maybe, I don't know, some help as to this question of why. You know, I'm not going to give you the answers to those questions because I don't know them. But hopefully give you some insights to the way we should look at it. And the way we should look at time. And the way we should look at our lives and how precious this time we have is. You know, over the millennia, the millions of years, over time, you have had so many philosophers and theologians and I guess pastors, you can say religious men of all sorts, want these kind of answers. They're looking for these type of answers. And, you know, so why shouldn't we, right? We're no way better than them. We are the same way. And we ask why because we want to know why. Why did that occur? Why did that happen? Especially at that time in our lives. And so I believe we need to look at this is in the overall picture of God's word, what God talks about, what God tells us, what God teaches us, because it affects us, doesn't it? It should affect us emotionally. It should affect us mentally. The knowledge that we've been given, the understanding that we've been given. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 12, because Apostle Paul here answered, I think, and said these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. I hope I didn't switch those two up. But it says, for now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Or I think we should say, be known fully. So what he's really talking about here is there's so many things in this day and age, so many things in our lives that you don't always have the answers to, that we don't know why. And I think we go on to Romans chapter 11. If you want to turn there, Romans 11, verse 33, because Paul goes on to say here, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, Romans 11, verse 33, and it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And I think we look at Deuteronomy. Let's go there next, because I think Moses says it maybe even a little bit differently there. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. And verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know, there are things that are revealed. We understand that. But there are also things that are not revealed, that we don't know. We all want to ask God why. We all want to ask God, we have questions, don't we? We want answers, especially to the things that come up in our lives, to things that happen to us in our lives. We want to know everything. Human beings have that tendency, don't we? We want to know everything about everything, and especially why. And I think that why question is all wrapped up into our Almighty God. He knows all these things. He understands all these things. And he's given us some things to understand now and some things later. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul made the statement that God doesn't want any human beings to perish. He wants to make sure that all, right, we're talking about all, have the best opportunity for eternal life. And we can also go and look at John 3:16. We know that it's a memory scripture. We've had sermons about it. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The all in there, the God loved the world. That's all humanity. That's all the human beings on this earth. Everyone, every human being. And when you look at that love, when you look at it, I think. And you evaluate that, I hope it would give us a little bit broader perspective in our lives of what God is doing, of what God is trying to do in our lives, because God knows all, God sees all, God understands all, and yet he is quite capable of doing whatever he wills, isn't he? He can stop something. He can start something. He can change something. He can do whatever he wants, according to his will. Well, let's go to Isaiah 57 and verse 1. Isaiah 57 and verse 1. Because we're talking today about death. We're talking about time and us looking at time in a different way, in a different perspective. Isaiah 57 verse 1, it says, the righteous perishes and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. You know, I think about that. It means that they're taken to some place, they find peace, Right? When they find peace, they find, I think, a rest. And this, of course, is talking about people who live and die in this world. And sometimes they die this untimely death. Sometimes these things happen. And yet, in all God's overall plan, the way God looks at it, He has this mercy, He has this compassion towards His people, towards His sons and daughters, towards all of humanity. And He understands the feelings that we go through. Because He can read our minds, can't He? He knows our thoughts. I mean, the Bible tells us He knows our sitting down and our standing up. He knows those things. He knows every thought according to Psalm chapter 139. And His Son died so that you and I could have the reconciliation with Him that is needed. But think about that. God had to leave His Son die on the cross. He could have rescued Him, couldn't He? He could have rescued Him. At any particular time, He could have done that. He had the power to do that. So that gives us the overall understanding of His plan, of what God is willing to do, His will, the mystery of God. And I think for us, it's really in order for us to be fulfilled in a broader sense, the situations that may come up in our lives, to understand a little bit more about those situations. The point is that God truly understands. You know, we hurt with these things that happen, the feelings we go through of death, of somebody dying, because, again, He fills the heavens and the earth, doesn't He? He fills everything. He's not far from any one of us, and especially those who are His children. Those of us have been called according to His purpose at this time, His very sons and daughters. So why does God allow death? I mean, and especially here we're talking, this is really about a week and a half ago about Mr. Davis, this untimely death. Why does He let that happen to members and families in the church? Well, I hope you know, you all know what an untimely death is. It's a death that we don't understand why, right? It happens when we're not expecting it. All right, it just happens. But we know that God, when we read through the scriptures, He gave us 70 years, right? 70 to 80 years in this life, this physical life. Again, that's according to Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10. Now, we know that there's some that live a lot longer than that. I think I just read some lady was 110. And then we have people who die as babies, as teens, as young adults. So it varies. It's within that range. Let's actually go over to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. Psalm chapter 90. But I want to look at verse 4. Because we understand God has a different view of time than we do. He looks at it differently. He sees it differently than all human beings. And for us, time seems like an eternity, doesn't it? Years can seem like a long time. As I was younger, I remember being, in my early years, it seemed like the day would go forever. It seemed like the year would go forever. It was just like, man. And as we get older, time goes by like a blink of an eye. It's like, where's it gone? Where'd it go? Here in Psalm 90 and verse 4, it says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." I mean, 1,000 years seems like yesterday to Him. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? That's hard to really put our minds around. And to think that that doesn't hinder Him at all in what His will is and what He's going to do. But that's the way He looks at it, isn't it? That's the way he deals with it. In God's eyes, all of that stuff, everything that's happened yesterday. So we have to understand our perspective when we look at this. Our perspective should really is different than God's perspective. It's not in the same wavelength. And that's why I think that's ultimately why we have difficulty in our lives as human beings to deal with death, to deal with these things in our lives. It's not easy, It's not simple. It seems so final. It seems so unreal. It seems so permanent. Right? When it happens to us. And that's the problem that we see with death. But God doesn't see that the same way. In God's mind, it's just tomorrow. Now think about this. In God's mind, it's just tomorrow when that person will live again. A day is 1,000 years. It's tomorrow. That person's going to live again. But we don't look at it like that, do we? That's not how we think. We must look at things, again, from God's point of view. We have to put God's mind and let our mind meet God's mind and put that within us. Let's go back now. I mentioned 2 Peter 3. Let's go there for a moment. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Okay, 2 Peter 3, verse 8 here says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing." So he's telling us, don't forget this. Remember this, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Well, then drop down to verse 9 and notice what he says here. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness." Or we could say the ability to understand this thing of time. Right? The ability to do that. Or this relationship that God has with time and how he understands time. But it goes on to say, "But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's overall purpose for human beings, those who have ever lived, right? We could say back to Adam and Eve, back to the Garden of Eden, to those who have lived and those who have died. All through time, those who are living now, that include you and me, those who have maybe will die at some point, are going to be worked with at some point in God's plan when God will open their minds. God will give them that understanding, give them the ability to understand this wonderful plan that we know and that we understand. You and I sit here in this room, and the only reason we are here is because God gave us this wonderful blessing, because God gave us an opportunity to understand it. That's the only reason we're here. And yet there is a world outside that has no clue to what's going on, that has no understanding at all about the plan of God. As we know, if you looked at some religions, some are going to heaven, right? Some are going to hell. Some, when you die, you're just dead. You're done. That's it. There's nothing else that happens. There are so many different ideas out there in this world. But they're not true. Right? None of them are true. You know, I say this, but and you've probably heard this too when you've gone to funerals and you've gone maybe family members that aren't a part of the church. But I heard it when our son died, and it was, "Oh, you know, my mom's up there watching down on us. She's up there from heaven looking at us and watching us." And I said, "Ooh, I don't want them looking at me." And I just thought, that was morbid. For them, and they don't understand. They don't get it. They don't have an idea what God is doing in this world, in this life. But they believe those things. You know, and if you look at, you know, you look at these people, I feel sorry for them. In a way. But I don't, because I know God's going to call them at some point. God's going to give them the understanding. God's going to give them that chance to know him, to realize his plan, to understand his plan. And you have to believe he is concerned for them. He is concerned. And that's what it tells us in verse 9. "Not willing that anyone should perish, but should come to repentance." So our thinking, the way we look at things, has to, I think, have a broader perspective. Look at it a different way. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, it says, "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." It's not wrong to sorrow. We all do. Human beings do. We sorrow. It's not wrong to hurt, because it does hurt, doesn't it? It affects us. And it's not just the people that happen to. It's to the spouses. It's to the families. It's to the friends. It's to everyone around them. It affects us all. But that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26 that when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one member of the body, and we are all part of the same body, we're all a part of the body of Christ, right? We're all here together as family. Let's go to Psalm 127. Psalm chapter 127. I think this is going to give us some very important principles when we go through this, because we got to look at this man started looking, or God started looking at man from birth, right? When God first created man, it was at birth. He loves their being. He loves our being. He wants us to grow and develop. And he also recognizes that some aren't ready right now, especially for the things that need, that really need to be given to them. They're not ready. Here in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, a fruit of the womb is a reward." And when you combine that, what we just read with John 3:16, that God so loved the world, then I think you begin to understand his love, God's love for every human being on this earth. Everyone who has been, who has lived, everyone who has died, we're talking about all. Because all of those who have lived are God's children. You and I are God's children sitting in this room. We're his sons and daughters. And then we also have to look at the spiritual begettal that we've been called to. Because we are now what? Spiritual sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. God sees all. God knows all. And he is quite able to do whatever he wants to do in his plan. He is capable of that. We have to trust that. We have to rely on that. We have to keep that in our minds. That's where we have to go. We have to look at it from that point of view. Not our point of view, because our point of view is skewed, isn't it? As human beings, it's skewed. And we have to go there because we don't always know. God does, but we don't always know. We don't know the answer to some of those things. So we go to the promises that God, he talks about. We go to some of those basic principles that he has shown us through the years as we've been in the church. And then you finally come back to in this particular statement that we just read, that we're a heritage, right? We're a heritage of the Lord. That is, God sees, he knows, and he's quite capable of doing whatever he needs to do. It takes faith to believe that, doesn't it? It takes faith to understand that. It takes a different mindset that we have to work towards. You know, even Job, if you look back at Job and his life and the things that he went through, he even said, "Though you slay me, yet will I trust him." Job had a concept of God, I think, in a relationship with him. It allowed him to have a broader perspective. It allowed him to see what he was doing. Even though he was going through all those things, he had an understanding. And he went through some terrible pain and suffering. And God permitted him to go through those things. God allowed that to happen. And so I think we have to go back and look and have a different perspective as we think of time, as we think of this thing called death in our lives, and about this principle about God and what God is doing in all of our lives. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Again, I'm talking about drawing this different perspective that you and I must do in the hurts, in the feelings that we have, especially for one another, especially for some of the things that we're dealing with our spouses being maybe where they're at. I don't think there's any question that we all hurt when those things happen. And I don't think there's any question that we hurt when Mr. Davis was killed. At least we did. I did. My wife did. And we hurt for his entire family. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You know, to actually realize and to know that God the Father experienced the death of his child, the death of his son, to think about that. Again, that's us going into this different, a broader perspective of what God goes through. Because he knows what it's like. He understands, first and foremost. That's the point. He knows. And he watched created beings kill the Creator. I mean, you think about that. He had to leave his son on the cross to die. He didn't rescue him. He could have. Even though he had the power to do so, he let him die. So you think he understands? Oh, yes. He does. You think he knows what we're going through? Oh, he does know what we're going through. And he cares. And he comforts us. And he's with us all the time. Going on to verse 33. It says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" That means you can die from some of the things that you believe in. Look at all the apostles. That's what Paul was writing about at this time. Rome at that time was a horrible place to live. But God perceives, he understands, he discerns all of these things. And God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Again, I think that's evidence for everyone, to us all, that he raised him and he will raise everyone in their own time. Or in their own order, we could even say. And I think the principle is in our own order. There is an order that God will do that. We're coming up to the resurrections. Right? We know there's more than one. Right? We look forward to this first resurrection when Christ returns and we meet Christ in the air, become a part of the family of God. There's a second resurrection we know is when all people on this earth will be resurrected. So we know there's more than one resurrection. And I'm not going to go to the third at this time. But verse 38, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. Nothing will separate us from God. God has a compassion on his creation. He knows, he understands, but he also has a plan. And he has a purpose for each and every one of us. And sometimes, as human beings, we don't know all the answers. So therefore, during this period of time, you have to have faith. And again, I'm talking to this period of time when, you know, for the Davis family and for us, as members of our families, or people we've known, or things that have happened, that God does know what he's doing. God understands what he's doing. And the reality of those things will ultimately come, won't they? The reality. What's the reality? The resurrection. To be a part of the family of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Again, basically the same thing, saying the same thing, but it means that we have to look at also the unseen. Right? We have to look at the future. We have to look what's out beyond the now in this life. And to realize how God sees events for the moment and is working, I think, for the ultimate glory, right? The ultimate end. for each one of us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. And as human beings, we all are getting older, even though people say don't get old. I can't stop it. I've tried. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to stop it. But it just getting older, no, we're wound up like a clock, right? And our clock is ticking. And we are wiring down. And one of these days, that clock is going to stop. And guess what? We are going to die. Because we're out of time. That's what it basically means, isn't it? To die. We're out of time. You're out of time. And this is what he's trying to tell us here. It's not a bad thing. Verse 16 goes on to say, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Are you learning? Are you growing? Are you growing in understanding? And many of the things that we're supposed to be doing. Goes on, but he said here in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The answers to all those questions that we have, that we want to ask, that we want to know, will come to us in the future. It doesn't matter, you know, the philosophers, the religious men, the whoever. They want to ask that question, why? Well, you know, one of the things that's nice is you and I, being in God's church, know some of the answers to those questions now, don't we? We have a better understanding than they do because God has given it to us. But these are questions that we all face, that all come up in our lives. Goes on to verse 18. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, looking and reading through God's word, I hope it helps us to understand and learn something about death, about untimely death, about time, about how we don't measure up to what God is doing and how we don't understand what God is doing. But I hope we can learn to determine what lessons there are for us. Right? What are the lessons we learn from these things or that we're going to be facing? You know, some of them are, why are we here? Why are we here? But we also have to live, don't we? We have to live in this world. And I think we learn from going through all the experiences in this life. And again, death is one of those experiences that we do experience at some point. Let's go back to Isaiah 57. We read this once, but I want to read it again. Isaiah chapter 57. You look at this. You wonder why. Why does God allow and permit these things to happen? The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. You know, we all face this concept within our thinking. We have to understand God's mercy. And we should have an understanding of God's mercy, of his compassion, of his love for all of us, and his timing concerning human beings. There's a time for all of us. And you have faced the death, we all have, of relatives, of someone that we love, friends, family. And as we just mentioned a little bit ago, death is inevitable. But I hope that you understand that God gives us the strength, right? He gives us the strength to bear that up when we go through these trials. And again, I don't know that there's any other greater trial than the death of a loved one. Husbands losing their wives, wives losing their husbands, losing children. It's happened occasion in the church. It's happened here in this area. It's happened in the area I lived. And I think as you've been in the church 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it's just something that happens. But I think the reality of needing to be there for that time in the future, you know, that's the one thing that was going through my mind when my son died, is I've got to be there for him in the future. I must be there for him, to help him. And I think that drives us. That should drive us, drive so many people to realize that I've got a job to do. I've got a responsibility that God has given me as not just a father, but I think now even as a pastor, that I need to be prepared to do that. In 1 Timothy 4, let's go over there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. You know, this is the Apostle Paul. He realized his life was coming to an end. Right? He understood that he was, he fulfilled the purpose that God had given to him. And he put himself in God's hands. He trusted God. He relied on God in his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." So as we live this life, this physical life, we live with a purpose. You know, I know what the death of my son did for me and did to me. And I know that I haven't forgotten it. It will be a part of me forever. It's a part of my thinking. And it was a very emotional time for me and my wife. But now I live with purpose. What's my purpose? It's to be in the kingdom of God, to do what I can to be like God in Jesus Christ, to fill my responsibility. That's what this purpose is in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Some very, I think, simple statements here. But as I mentioned, we're to live with purpose, isn't it? We're to live with purpose for the will of God, for what God has planned for each one of us. And that's what really Solomon is telling us here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "For I consider all that is in my heart, that so that I could declare it to all, that the righteous and the wise are their works, and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and to him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, he who fears an oath." So we're looking at it saying death is not easy to face. It's an enemy. Right? It's an enemy. Death is an enemy. And that's not going to disappear until Christ returns and initiates the resurrections upon human beings. Verse 5. We're not going to read that. But it talks about death being a very, very much part of life. And then we're going to go to verse 9. Verse 9 is, "Live joyfully." You know, sermonette. Joyfully. About joy this during this time of season. But this is joy in our lives. This is joy knowing what God has in store for us. "Joyfully with the wife whom you love all these days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, For that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, no device, or knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So we must understand, right? You and I do understand. There is a solution to the 6,000 years that we've been a part of, right? Of this human life. That when God first created man, there has to be a solution, right? And that solution is what? Well, we've been talking about it a little bit today. Becoming a part of the family of God. Let's go to John 5 and verse 28. John 5, verse 28. Christ talking here. John 5, 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all. Again, we're not looking just a few people. We're talking all. All of human beings who are in the graves will hear his voice. As we focus on the reality of what God is doing, right? The reality of all this, we need to take a little bit of time to look at the fact that there is a promise from God about removing death, the removal of death, forever, right? Forever. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. Because the Apostle Paul states it this way. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. A lot of times people don't think about that. Right? We don't think about that. What does it mean, every man in his order? I believe everyone who has ever lived. Again, I'm not positive. I'm just saying I believe that. That they had an idea that something was going to happen to the human race. Something was going to happen. Something had to happen. We just can't keep on with the way things are, can we? We can't keep on living this life the way we are. Look at this world, the way it's going, destroying itself. Look at the countries. We look at Israel, what's happening there. God has given man time. He has given us all time. And somewhere along this plan of the 6,000 years that we're a part of is the calling of God. It's the time when God begins to deal more directly with human beings, when he begins directly with us. Because again, we look back at what we just read, God doesn't want anybody to perish. He's merciful. He's compassionate. His love can't be measured. Why are we do not know sometimes why these things happen? They just do. And we have to understand that. We have to be able to reconcile with that. Can we live the concept that we don't always know sometimes these things and why they happen? Can we live with that? That they just do. And we need to move forward in our lives and look past that and look to the future that we're talking about here. Because we have to realize and understand that God is not finished with them. He's not finished with those individuals that have already died. And I look at that, he's not finished with my son. When he died at 17 years of age, he's not. I know God is still have a work to finish in him, to do with him. Well, as we begin to close, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, this life, as we know, is a test. It is a test, and there's things that we go through that are very difficult, that are very hard. And it's a trial that you and I sometimes don't understand. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I mean, think about the vision that we don't have at this time about the future, about God's plan for all of humankind. Verse 5, it goes on to say, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We can't explain it any other way, can we? We can't, because things happen. And they're unexplainable. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As in any trial, we have to forge ahead. We have to push ourselves ahead. We have to learn from the experiences that we're going through. You have to grow in godly character. That's a part of what we must understand. We in the church have to be supportive. We have to be helpful. We have to be empathetic to all those around us, to our brothers and sisters, to help encourage them, to help build them up. Time is endless, right? Time is not endless. We need to start prioritizing what truly matters in this life. That's up to you, right? What is it that matters in your life? What is it that comes to mind? And then we need to make intentional choices that align with our values and our beliefs.